Parshas Vayigash Beis Tefillah Tofshin Ein He. We're in the middle of the drama. What's happening? What's going to be with Binyamin? Binyamin, the precious Binyamin, is being accused of being a thief. He's about to be imprisoned. And Yehudah steps in. Vayigash Eliyahu Yehudah Vayomer. And Yehudah goes on his tremendous speech, pleading to Yosef, which in the end caused Yosef, Yehol Yosef Sapek, and Yosef revealed himself, and Yosef Oida Vichai. We tend to look to view the story as Yosef was pulling the strings. Yosef, who had the power, the brothers came, he framed them to be spies, he imprisoned Binyamin, he imprisoned Shimon, he twisted their arm to make them bring Binyamin down. Now he frames them again. He's playing the cards, he's pulling the strings, until he decides, so that's enough, let's finish the game. That's how we view everything. Are the brothers being manipulated? But really, the Medrash tells us in this week's parasha, it was Yehudah who was fighting Binyamin, fighting Yosef. Vayigash Eliyahu Yehudah. Says the Medrash right here, by the Pasuk in Mishlei, Mayim amukim eitzo belev ish. Deep water is a eitzo. Eitzo is a plan, an idea. Belev ish, in a person's heart. The ish tvuna, a wise man, yidleno, can pull it out. Says the Medrash, you have a deep water pit. Very, very deep. At the bottom, there's cold, pure, clean water. But it's so deep, no one can get there. There's beautiful water, but we can't access the water. Came a wise man, and he tied a kosher chevel b'chevel, v'nima v'nima meshicha b'meshicha. He tied rope to rope, string to string, strap to strap, thread to thread, and he added on a new piece, until he was able to lower the bucket to the water, and he drew the water. And once he did that, everyone else could do that, could follow suit. Likewise, says the Medrash Yehuda, Meshiv LeYosef Dovar Al Dovar Atche Omad Alibay. Yehuda was throwing in claim after claim, catch after catch, till he was able to penetrate Yosef's heart. And that's why Yash Eilov Yehuda. Yehuda is going right into Yosef's heart. What does that mean? It says the Matnes Kahuna, the Perush on the Medrash, that Yosef, that Yehuda was softening Yosef's heart until Yosef couldn't take it anymore. Because Yehuda overwon Yosef. He put Yosef in a position that Yosef could not play the game anymore, and Yosef had to respond by lo yachol Yosef lisapik olav. What do we learn? Says the Yabruchim, we learn from here a message for life. Sometimes we kind of want to think, okay, Hashem will do it for me. We see, you always have to have a plan. This is described as an etzah. Yehuda had a plan. When a person goes into a business meeting, the first minute, he has to know what to say. He has to say that, you have to make the client interested. You have 1 minute to throw in your pitch. If you miss that pitch, he's not interested, he's shut down, you're wasting your time. He had to come up with a strategy to make things work. Judah had a strategy. He had a whole speech to say to Yosef, and he was touched. He was pinpointing the points, penetrating Yosef's heart, so Yosef couldn't take it anymore. This is described as an Eitzah. Likewise, in the previous parasha, when the brothers come back to Eretz Yisrael, and they tell Yaakov, we have to bring Binyamin down. What did Yaakov say? Lo yered bnei imachem. No way. It's enough. I'm missing Yosef. Enough. I'm missing Shimon. You're going to take Binyamin as well? No way. What did Yehuda say? Says Rashi. Yehuda said, wait for the old man. Achatichle, till the food will get finished. And when the food will get finished, you'll see things will change. You knew what he's doing. He didn't answer his father. He didn't argue. He said that he told his father, wait. You'll see, as when famine starts, hits us, our father will change his mind. Again, he has a plan. He has a mahalach. Likewise in life, whatever a person does, he has to have a plan, a strategy. You have a child. You want to be mechanechim? You got to have a plan. You got to recognize the child. What does he need? Where is his faults? How am I going to help him? How can I bring him up? You have to have a plan. You have business. You got to have a plan. What you're going to do? You have time to learn. Have a plan. How do you want to use your time the best? Whatever you do in life, it has to be with Eitzah. It's not stam. You have to have a plan, a mahalach. And if plan A doesn't work, come up with plan B. This week I spoke to a certain family. Their daughters have been many years, been waiting for a shidduch, and it hasn't happened. I said, what's your plan? You see that for the last 3 years it hasn't gone, so you have to go move on to plan B. Why? Why isn't it worked? You have to strategize. You've got to have a new mahalach. What are you going to do? It has to be with an Eitzah. And that's the message we're learning from over here. This is what the Medrash uses, the pasuk of Mayim Amukim Eitzah Belev Ish. You have to use your Eitzah, you have to strategize, have a plan, plan A and plan B, and go for it. And that's what Yehuda did, and it was successful. Yehuda carries on his speech, and he says in Pasuk Chav Beis, "Va'noyim el Adoni, v'yuchal hanar lazov es aviv, v'ozav es aviv v'meis." If he will leave his father, he'll die. He says it again. Yehuda is describing that if we don't bring Binyamin back, our father will die. In the Sefer Paradis Yosef, he brings that there was an elderly man who came to the Kotzka and said, why is this? I'm an old man. I have children who are Bale Paranossa. They're well to do, and they don't look after me. My old age, they don't care about me. I spent my life helping them, raising them. I gave up my life for them. Why is it they don't care for me? Said the Kotzka, it's already mavur in the Torah. This concept that fathers care for their sons more than sons care for their fathers is mavur in this week's parasha. Why? Yehuda is claiming, if Binyamin doesn't come back, who's going to die? A father will die. 1 second. Binyamin has 10 children. 10. Why are we not concerned that the children will die if the father doesn't come back? Why are we only discussing the father? Said the Kotzka, here it is. Because the father cares about his imprisoned son more than the sons care about their imprisoned father. They're not going to die if their fathers get imprisoned. But the father may die if his son's in prison. And therefore, don't be surprised you gave up your life for your children, because you care about them. They don't care about you as much, and they don't part with their money to help you. Don't be surprised. What's the reason for it? Says the proudest Yosef, because we are a chain stemming from Adam HaRishon. We inherit our traits from Adam HaRishon through the chain. Adam HaRishon raised children. He had mercy on, he loved his children. That's been passed down. Fathers love their son. But Adam HaRishon didn't have mercy on his father, because he ain't got a father. Adam HaRishon never had a father to love. He was created from the earth. So therefore, that quality we never got from Adam HaRishon, the quality to care so much about our father. It's not in our blood. And therefore, you're an old man. Your children don't care about you enough, even if they can. They have the ability to help you, and they don't. Don't be surprised. Well, okay. What's the rationale behind all this? Rav Dessler, in Kuntros HaBchira, asked the question. We see that giving and love go hand in hand. The person you love, you give your presents, husband to wife, the chule, your presents. Ask Rav Dessler, what causes what? Is the giving a result of love, or is love a result of giving? Is it the person you love, you give, or the person you give, you love? We are used to thinking, if you love, you give. Says Rav Dessler, no. By giving, you will love. Why is that? Because when you give, you feel connected. You feel it's part of you. Then you love. A person builds a house with his own hands, he feels connected to the house. It's precious to him. If a person in his backyard will plant some tomatoes, those tomatoes will be more tasty for him than any tomato in the store. Why? Because he planted it, he irrigated it before Shemitah. It's him. He gave, he sustained his plant, he made it grow. He loves it. It's what you give him 9 times the amount of tomatoes, he won't exchange it. These are my tomatoes, which I grew. It's from my tree. Why? Because he gave. He gave from himself. Therefore, he feels connected. The giving creates love. And he brings a Mesechas Derech Eretz. If you want to love your friend, then give to him. Care about him. Be nicer than nicer between vasai. By you looking after him, giving to him, it will create a love. And Rav Dessler says, when I meet young spouses, the chosan and the kala, I say, right now, the reyim ahuvim, they love each other, the chosan and the kala. What does the chosan want? He wants to make his kala happy. What does the kala want? She wants to make the chosan happy. No, state of bliss. Says Rav Dessler, you should know, I want to tell you something. As long as you're in that state, the chosan wants to give to the kala, and the kala wants to give to the chosan, you're in a state of love. This will foster love. But if it's vice versa, the chosan wants to take from the kala, he's demanding, where's my supper? Why didn't you wash my clothes? And the kala is making her demands on him. You should know, love will be out your house. Because if you're taking, this will not foster love. If you're giving, then you'll have love. And that's the same idea over here. Why is it the father loves his children more than the children love their father? Because the fathers give to the children. They give their life for the children. they work, make parnasa, to give, to sustain the children, to help them. That creates love. But the children get. They're not giving. Therefore, they don't have that love. And that's what we see from this week's parasha. If Yama won't come back, Yaakov may die, but his children won't die. Because they are get, they get, they got, they didn't give. What's the message? This is contrary to Western culture. Western culture is all about taking, taking. You should know that like real connections are made by giving. You want a good atmosphere at home, you have to give, you have to invest. Invest in your wife, invest in your children, invest in your friends, invest in your harusas. That will foster love. But if it's vice versa, there's not a real connection. If it's a matter of taking, it's not a real connection. Perek Memhei Pasuk Ches, Yosef comforts the brothers and he says, Va'ato lo yatem shalachtim oisi heino ki elokim v'yisimeini lo'av lefaroi v'lo'odoyim lechol beiso yomoysha b'chol eretz Mitzrayim. Says Yosef, don't worry, it wasn't you, you didn't send me here, it was Elokim. The reason being that I can be mefarnes you. We see from here a very important concept. What do you mean it wasn't you? Of course it was them. They had bchira. They chose to sell him. So what do you mean it wasn't them? Here we have a very interesting concept. That even when a person chooses to do something bad to you, can still be traced to Hashem. A person does have free will. The fact that it was Hashem's plan doesn't mean it wasn't free. There was no free will. There was free will, but it's still I can trace it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is a concept we can learn. We can learn from David HaMelech. When David HaMelech was being exiled by his son and was freeing Yerushalayim, then Shimon ben Gera cursed him in a very degrading way in public, and they wanted to kill Shimon ben Gera, and David said, no, don't kill him, because Hashem said Hashem wants him to curse me. And yet later on when David HaMelech passes away, his last instructions are to Shlomo HaMelech, V'radetem es dam v'yogoyin sho'ilo, I want him to die, you make sure he dies. So he is liable. So David HaMelech is holding him liable. So if he's liable, why didn't he want to be killed then? Both are true. He has his pira and he deserves to be punished, but still true, Hashem wants him to do it. So don't kill him now. And here as well, Yosef says, I know you have bchira, that's up to you, you have to do your tshuva, but still I recognize it's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore it's all for the good. So likewise, when people do bad things to us, they have their bchira. We have the right to sue them in Beis Din v'chulei. We still have to recognize it's from the ultimate plan and accept that. Later on in the parasha, we have Yaakov refuses to believe that Binyamin, that Yosef is in fact alive. This we find in Perek Mem Hey, Pasuk Chavav. Vayigidu lo leimar, Oy Yosef chai, v'chiu meisho b'chol eretz Mitzrayim. Vayifog liboy ki lo yemin lehem. He couldn't believe them. Vayidab reilov, as called divrei Yosef asher diber lehem. They told him all the words of Yosef. Vayaras ha'agolos, he saw the carriages. Asher sholach Yosef. Then Yaakov came to life. What happened over here? Makarakan. They told him Yosef alive, believe him. Says Abel Elopian. They said, Oit Yosef Chai. Chai, what does that mean, Chai? Living. What does living mean? A Rosha Bechayev is called Rosha. It's called Mace. A tzaddik is called living. When they said, oh, Yosef Chai means, he's Yosef a tzaddik. He's alive. But they also said, v'chiyu meishel b'chol eretz Mitzrayim. But he's the ruler of Mitzrayim. That's a contradiction. How can you tell me that Yosef is alive, spiritually, and also tell me in the same sentence, he's the ruler of Mitzrayim, which is the Makor HaTumah? Surely if you are number two in the country, you live the life. You're part of the culture. And if it's a culture of Tumah, you must be part of that Tumah. You are saying things which are contradictory. You're telling me that Yosef is alive spiritually, because the Rosha is called, Bechayev is called a mace. He's alive spiritually, but you're telling me he's ruling Mitzrayim. That's a contradiction. That's a catch 22. You're telling me he's ruling Mitzrayim, you can't tell me that he is Yosef HaTzadik. But then, V'idabro Elov is called Divra Yosef. V'yaris HaGolais. He saw the HaGolais. What are the HaGolais? Says Rashi. The HaGolais was symbolizing the Egla Rufa. Because the Egla Rufa was the last sugya they learned together 22 years ago. And then, V'yakuchi Ruach Yaakov Avihem. Why? Because we have a rule that milsa dolei rami al inshei labadate, things that are not important to you, you don't remember. Do you remember when you walked to shul this morning? Do you remember how many people passed you on the way? Was it 2 or 3 or 10? No, because it wasn't important to you. At that moment, I could ask you, you would tell me, but it's not kept in your memory because it's not important for you to remember. If things were important, if you had a store and 10 clients came in, you would remember exactly how 10 clients walked in and walked out. You would remember that because it's important for you. We only remember things that are important for us. Things that are unimportant for us, we don't remember. We don't remember what we had for breakfast yesterday, I would guess. Maybe this morning you may still remember. You probably don't remember what you had yesterday morning. How many? Did you have 2 portions or one? Did you have... What do you spread in your sandwich? Was it cheese? Was it cottage cheese? Your stomach don't remember. Because it's not important. Right? So the fact that Yosef remembers the sugya they learned 22 years ago shows it's adate. It's something important for him and he must be chazering it. Because you can't remember such an unimportant detail if it's not important. If you remember that means it's important for him. Which means indeed that Yosef is indeed chai. Even though he's the Moshe b'chol eretz Mitzrayim. Even though normally it's a catch 22, it's almost impossible. But Yosef must be Yosef HaTzadik, Batechi Ruach Yaakov Aviev. But the principle is to remember that we're influenced by our society, and it is very difficult to stay Yosef HaTzadik in such a situation, that we have to be extra careful to keep ourselves alive spiritually. Just before that, Paroi instructs Yosef, go and bring your father. In Perek Mem Hei, Pasuk Yud Ches and Yud Tes, says Paroi, Ukhu es avichem vesboteichem uboilai, I want you to come and bring your father. Then he says, now you are commanded, take with the carriages. This is a beautiful insight over here. Who are we discussing right now? We're discussing Yosef. Yosef runs this country. The whole country is under Yosef's authorities. Everyone, he owns the whole land, he's running everything, except Rak HaKiseg Dal Mimcha. Besides Paro's position, everything Yosef runs, he's in full control. He's similar to a dictator. He buys people, buys their lands, moves people around. He's a full dictator. Yet, Paro knew that he has to explicitly command Yosef use the carriages. Because he knew that Yosef would not use the carriages for himself without permission. Paro already said, bring your father. It's not enough. The carriages, they're not mine. I can't use them. Paro had to instruct him, you are commanded to use them. Because if he wasn't commanded, Yosef would not use them without permission. And Paro knew that. And that we see what's called Nikayon Kapayim. You have your hands need to be clean. If you're running other people's money, that's the level we're supposed to be at. Your hands are clean. Can't stick. Other people's money cannot stick to your hands, by the way, just because you have power. And likewise, at the end of the parasha, it says that Yosef brought all the kesef to base Paro. Says the Sfaron over there, nothing stayed in his pocket. Give all the money to Paro. Nothing was kept behind. Even though he had the capabilities to do that, he didn't. And this is the message: when running other people's money, everything has to be given over. Nothing can be left behind for ourselves. Yaakov sends Yehuda. This Yehuda sholach lefonov el Yosef lehoiros lefonov Goshen. He sends Yehuda to Goshen. What's there to do in Goshen? Says the Medrash Haggadah. Lehoiros lefonov letakon lo beis Talmud shemisham teitzah hara. He sends Yehuda to start a yeshiva. The question is, why is he sending Yehuda? The Rambam says, in the way the Torah is passed down in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Avraham to Yitzchak, Yitzchak to Yaakov, and Yaakov appointed Levi to run the yeshiva. So Levi ran the yeshiva. So why is Yehuda being chosen for this position to start the yeshiva? It would be more appropriate for Levi to be sent. Or Yisachar. Yisachar is the Chamoy Garem. Yet Shichmo Lisboel, he represents the people of Torah. So he would be more appropriate to send to start the yeshiva. Why are we sending Yehuda? In the Sefer Megid Yosef, he wants to say, you're right. We didn't need Yehuda. The position doesn't need Yehuda. To start the yeshiva, where the Rosh Hashiva is who? Who's the Rosh Hashiva? Yaakov Avinu. Who are the Talmidim? Shivtei Ka. Who is financing Yeshiva? Paroi. Paroi has invited them to Goshen. This is Yeshiva, everything's catered for. This Yeshiva doesn't need Yehuda to start it for them. The yeshiva doesn't need Yehuda, but Yehuda needs the yeshiva. Yaakov was teaching Yehuda, you are the future king. I want to train you. You need to know what's important. Kings think what important is conquering land, building cities. Says Yaakov, no. Before I arrive, I want you to start the yeshiva. So you should understand, this is number one. Because the yeshiva is the Torah, which promises the nitzchias of Am Yisrael. So therefore it wasn't necessary for Yehuda. in the Sefer Vigadato, says that Rabbi Yanka Galinsky asked the Ponovitcher Rav this question. Ponovitcher Rav, he was a big pioneer, and he asked him, why was Yehuda sent to be the Rosh Yeshiva, to start the Yeshiva? Said the Ponovitcher Rav, the reason being, because Yehuda is the one who said, in last week's parasha, he promised Yaakov, I guarantee I will bring Binyamin back. I guarantee I will bring Binyamin back. What do you mean you guarantee? How can you guarantee such a thing? Is it in your? Is it under your control? Can you control Mitzrayim? Can you guarantee Binyamin will be brought back? What does that mean, I guarantee? What will happen if the Egyptians will not agree? You can only guarantee something that you control. Something you have the capabilities of doing, so you guarantee it will happen. But things that are beyond your control, how can you guarantee? Huh? Says the Ponovitcher, that's why he was chosen. If you can guarantee things that are beyond your control, you can start the yeshiva. If you feel limited to what you can do, it's not going to happen. If you feel the courage to do things which are beyond your capabilities, you can start the yeshiva. This is the Ponovitcher Rav speaking up for himself. We find that when Yaakov and Yosef meet, Vayipol al Tzavorov, we would expect the father and son to embrace each other, yet it's in the singular. Only Yosef embraces Yaakov, but not Yaakov to Yosef. Why? Say Chazal, because Yaakov was saying Kriya Shema. The question is, if it's now time for Kriya Shema, what about Yosef? Why wasn't Yosef saying Kriya Shema? If it's time for Kriya Shema, Yosef also should be saying Kriya Shema. So why is Yaakov is yes saying and Yosef is not saying? No, you tell me. Rimono Shach, if it's time for Kriya Shema, so Yosef also has to do Kriya Shema. So why was Yaakov saying it then? Why was Yaakov saying it then? So why shouldn't Yosef use the opportunity?
Maybe he wasn't marked on the Morgan of Ram.
How are you saying? How are you? Help us out. No, and therefore what?
The perfect timing to
connect with Hashem. Okay. So the various ways to learn this. Yosef had a different mitzvah. Had mitzvah kibudav. But Yaakov wasn't. He didn't have a mitzvah to embrace Yosef. But Yosef did. Why did Yaakov choose this moment? Because it was a moment that of tremendous simcha. Seeing your son after so many years, Yaakov wants to give this tremendous feeling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why Dafka then? It's a beautiful Rambam in Hilchos Yisurei Mizbeach Halacha Zayin Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Yud Aleph, and it's Paskin in Shulchan Aruch. Haroitza Lizkeis Atzmai, a person wants to purify himself. Yakuf Yitzur Hara, should overcome your evil inclination. And therefore, in Bona base tefillah, if you're building a base tefillah, yeah, no ami base yeshivasai. It should be nicer than your own home. Hechil ra'iv. If a hungry man comes to your house, don't give him your leftovers. Give him the best. Because this is overcoming our evil inclination. We don't want to give him our best, we want to give him our leftovers. But you should know, the best way is to give him your best. Kisa orum. For someone who needs clothes. Yechasem and ayofem shabiksusai. Give him your best clothes. Not your handovers, hand downs. And it says, Kol Chelev Hashem, the best. So Yaakov felt, I have such a happy moment. This is the time I want to give it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What about Yosef? For Yosef, it was also a happy moment. Why wasn't he giving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So this is the moment that Yaakov felt, was in Magdeshet Hashem. This happy moment, he's not embracing Yosef, he's saying Kriya Shema. So why didn't Yosef do suit as well? Follow suit? Why is he not also saying Kriya Shema to give this happy moment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The Torah says, because this is a very important insight. It's a beautiful thing to be Magdish Hashem. It's a nice hiddur. It's not an obligation. Kibbut Av is an obligation. Yosef had Mrs. Kibbut Av. He can't do hiddurim right now and catch a few malachim on the way. He has a chiyuv to do Kibbut Av vein. Hiddurim start after you've done your obligations, you can do hiddurim. Yaakov was free man. He didn't have a mitzvah to embrace his son. Not a mitzvah. So therefore he had the ability to now say Kriya Shema HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Yosef has an obligation. First you have to do your obligations, then you can do the nice stuff, the interesting stuff. We tend to forget these type of things. We have a tendency, we want to start exciting, go to the mikveh. Go to the mikveh, gewaldik. But if you're going to miss Zman Kriya Shema, then you're missing the boat. Because Kriya Shema is a chiyuv d'oraisa, and going to mikveh is a nice thing. You can't mix them up together. And it's something which someone's pointed out to me. A moshul. People go to the koisel. People go to the koisel, gevaldik, beautiful. Dove in the koisel. What happens afterwards in the bus stop? When there's one bus and 100 people trying to get on? Can trample a few people. Mamas trample them to get in the bus. I don't blame you, but you know what? What's more important? Not to hurt someone or to dive in the crystal? So, first we have to make sure we're doing our obligations. You can't hit someone or hurt someone. Only then can you do a durim and go to the koisel. This is just a marshal. We have to be careful. We intend to miss this. But a person who's going to push other people at the bus and fight to get in and trample someone on the way, that's an obligation. You're not allowed to do that. You can't go to... Your durim only starts if you're managing and keeping obligations. That's why Yosef didn't say Kriya Shema. As nice as it would have been, he didn't say, because he has an obligation, his kibud av. Therefore, we have to make sure we do our obligations, and only then can we do our idurim. Yeshakoyach, have a good Shabbos. Thank you very much.